Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord for the next few moments we're able to share together as I've been ministering on a subject, what is true faith? And we talked, as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, about temporary faith. The Bible talks about that. Paul actually, in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 19, he speaks of those who, concerning faith, have made shipwreck as having cast off their first faith by going aside after Satan. And Paul tells us that we have been reconciled to God. And in Colossians, the first chapter, verse 23, we find he's exhorting us, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And you see, that possibly could have happened in your own life with great trial and affliction, or perhaps you've known others who, when really serious crisis occurs and severe testing, they fall away. They didn't have root. They were not continued to be grounded in the Word of God. And so that's obviously not the kind of faith we want to have. Then, as we've been talking about the various kinds of faith that are mentioned or described in the Bible, and then just briefly, there is historical faith. In 1 John, the 5th chapter, let me read verses 10 through 13. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Not just Scripture, as Scripture was written by those who actually live with Jesus, the Apostle John, for example, Peter, they were among his living disciples. And not only that, there's historical records, secular writings of the existence of a Jesus of Nazareth. Pilate actually sent a report back to his governor, his overseer, whatever the person ahead over him was, describing what had occurred in terms of the crucifixion and the uprising that there had been regarding Jesus, when they demanded him to be crucified and Barabbas not to be released. So this is faith, obviously, in the history or record of God concerning the past and concerning his own work for men. An individual can believe the record of God to the letter and still not be saved. It is simply believing in the record of anything in the past. We have that in terms of historical documentation of what has occurred in this nation or in the nations of the world and the history of man. And no consecration, obviously, is necessary to believe history. And then one closely associated with that is mental faith. And James gives us an example of mental faith, and we find that in the second chapter of James. And I'm going to read verses 14 through 26. I'm going to read them all because it's important. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother be or sister be naked and destitute of food, and one of you say unto him, Depart in faith, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give him not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing thou hast faith, wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then, he's using scripture, how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise, he gives another example. Also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? She was a Gentile. When she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. These are 12 verses I just read to you. Metal faith, in some regards, is similar to historical faith. It believes history, but it goes further and believes every part of the Bible. This is someone who is saved, who loves God. They believe the past, present, and future, as well as all the truths of the Word of God and in terms of the blessings of God. But it doesn't act upon the Word of God. That's why James is so strong in his verbiage. Faith without works is dead, being alone. This kind of faith is merely passive or mere mental assent to truth. And that's an easy thing when you've been born again. We can easily have that. You absolutely agree. Yes, I know God is omnipotent. He can do anything. Nothing's impossible for him. That's mental faith, unless you apply it to your life with action. It's passive mental assent to truth. And thousands of sinners may have a mental faith in God and the Bible, but they keep neglecting the definite action of obeying the truth, which is to repent, to turn to God. If little effort is put forth to cooperate with God or to do what he says to do, to receive what he has promised, little results are possible. You can believe the Bible. You can believe God is real. You can believe everything he says. But without action, it is mere mental assent to truth if you don't have active faith in it. Mental assent or passive faith, that's another word you could use, is actually one of the most dangerous enemies of true faith in God. It claims all the faith in the world and is satisfied easily with either anything or with nothing from God. Oh, they would accept something from God if he would come and just like lay it in their lap and implore them to keep it. But apart from this, there's little or no effort put forth to act in faith concerning anything God has promised. You see, it's kind of it's just mental assent. It's not taking any action. You're agreeable, but it's not, there's no power in it, because that's what James is talking about. We have to have works, action to that faith. And it has nothing to do with salvation. We're only saved by faith. That's for certain. However, it's like, for example, if you were sick for a very long time and you were able-bodied, I mean, you could walk, there was no disability in that regard, but you were just so sick, you were confined for months and months to bed. Well, if you tried to get up without being gradual and slow about it, your muscles atrophy. Those of you who've worked out for any length of time, you know, if you stop for what, days, weeks, you notice the difference. Your muscle, you don't have, because you haven't exercised your muscles, you don't have the strength you formerly did. Well, that's how it is with faith. So now let's turn our attention to active faith, the kind of faith that God wants us to have. There are some scriptures, of course, regarding active faith. And James 2, 14 through 26, we shared that. Hebrews 10, and I want to read verses 19 through 24. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, right? In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And then you could read really that whole chapter, but verses 35 through 39, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. See, there's an important element there. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we are not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe, hallelujah, to the saving of the soul. This, beloved, this kind of faith that acts upon the word of God as it is made clear and simple. James said, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And all people must have this kind of faith to receive anything from God. As long as our faith is purely mental and passive, no action will be taken to obey the truth. Well, there's certainly more I want to share, and I want to pray with you, but we have to relegate that to another broadcast as my time is drawing to a close. But if you are sensing in your spirit as you've been listening to God's word that you need active faith, give me the privilege by allowing me to pray with and for you. The announcer will give our contact information. I'm praying that all the time. I said, Lord, increase my faith. Help me to believe you for the impossible. And God is stirring our faith. I sense that in the spirit. So I do invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. Should you miss it anytime, simply go to our website, unveilchrist.org. You can click on the broadcast and listen anytime at your convenience. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you. And should you email, I can't spend much time on emails, although I confirm receipt and will pray, but I invite you to share your mailing address and I can minister a personal letter to you. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.